Hey, it's John. Did you know a quick finger prick at home can unlock over 180 insights to slow aging and boost health? I tried True Diagnostics True Age plus True Health Test, and it gave me way more information than a regular checkup. True Health checks biomarkers like vitamins, gut health, inflammation, and toxins. True Age reveals your biological age, organ ages, and aging pace with tailored tips to optimize. My results? My body shows signs of being a few months younger than my actual age. Fitness age is 5 years below my actual age, with a strong grip and gait, but a slightly fast aging pace that I'm trying to tweak with better sleep and stress management. It's backed by Ivy League scientists. Just prick, mail, and get a clear report in 2 to 4 weeks. Serious about longevity? Visit TrueDiagnostic.com. Use code Harris for 20% off your order or subscription. That's TrueDiagnostic.com, code H-A-R-R-I-S. Your future self will thank you. We are now live on the Conversations That Matter podcast for a late Friday night episode here. I'm sure most of you will probably listen or stream this later. I want to talk about one subject and one subject only. I don't want to take a long time to talk about it, but it is something that has been on my heart and mind for some time. I think it's intensified in the last few days because of some realization in my mind that, especially on the internet, but this is also real life to some extent. A lot of young Gen Z men, but also millennials, also those who are in their 30s and 40s, are extremely discouraged. Some have given up on the idea of dating and marriage. And I think there's a number of factors involved in this. So I want to talk about that a little, but I want to give some hope and I want to give some very practical advice if I can. For those who are interested in that kind of thing, I've had several people reach out and just ask me what they should be doing, if there's anything different that maybe I did or others that I know who are successful in this regard, what they've done. And as I was coming home from Five Guys, I was with my wife. We had our kind of, we try to do a weekly date even after we've gotten married. So the people saying that I don't date, well, maybe in the sense of, yes, it was 10 years ago when I was last dating in the sense that I was single, but I actually still date my wife. Every week we'll go out. Sometimes we have, well, most of the time now we have our little girl with us, which that may change as she gets older, but we had about a 15-minute drive and I just said, you know, probably wouldn't take us long to come up with something here, but 10 things, if we can come up with 10 things that we've learned, mostly for men, I'm thinking in terms of, this is for men, especially, that's my audience, overwhelmingly, it's male. What are 10 things that I've learned, some of them in conjunction with my wife, that have helped me and helped others, as we've observed others in successful relationships, turn those relationships into a successful marriage. And so we did that. And I'm going to start by just giving a charge to all of you men who are single out there, and especially those who are in the stage of giving up. I think there's different voices for different groups, and there's a spectrum here. But in general, if you're someone who feels weak, you need help. If you are someone who is faint-hearted, you need encouragement. But if you are someone who is unruly, and there seems to be quite a few of those as well out there who are just belligerent about the fact that anyone would suggest that they might be able to change their circumstances and get married, they call themselves incels. It's part of their identity. I would say, actually, you may need not encouragement and not help. So if you're unruly, you may need actual correction. And whether you're in any of those groups, I think there's a charge that you need to hear. And so I want to start with that. And this really explains why this is even on my mind and on the minds of so many. I've had many conversations with wiser, even older folks than myself who are concerned about this issue, that it doesn't seem like young people are getting married like they used to. That might be different depending on what part of the country you're in and in what kind of religious society you're part of. If you're in a rural country area, maybe nothing's changed, but something seems to have changed nationally. And I'll show you some stats on that. But first, I want to just sort of speak from my heart and speak truly to you. All the policy things politically we've been fighting for, whether it's on the immigration front or election integrity, you name it, whatever issue you want to name, it really doesn't matter whether we win those issues or not if we don't have a civilization. To me, that's how serious this is on a macro level. If we fail to carry on our civilization by having children and raising them up in stable environments, then what's the point? Seriously. Obviously, I'm for political action. I've been very supportive of people who are politicians that are Christian, that have integrity. We've had them on our show. People who are involved in various capacities in reforming denominations and reforming Christian institutions. People who have issues they care about and can speak intelligently about. I care about all those things, obviously. But I am very aware that if we don't have a lot of kids and we don't start having them quick, we are going to see the repercussions of that on our economy, on our national sovereignty, our power in the world, the status we hold. We're going to see, I think, a shrinkage in the ratio of, if you want to call them, you know, native born, or you could even extend that further and say Americans who have more of a rootedness in this country, there's going to be a proportion that shrinks. they're not going to make up as much of the pie as some of those who have recently arrived. And that has profound implications for our culture. We don't actually have a shared culture, and the strains will become even greater. America will exist in pockets if we don't have kids. This is a very serious issue on so many levels. And I know many people talk about it in terms that are different. Elon Musk will talk about the coming population crisis and how we need to have more kids. There's a pronatalist kind of wing in the new right conservatism. But there's also a religious element to this that there's pastors I know that haven't, they're Presbyterian, they haven't baptized babies, but there's Baptist pastors and Presbyterian and other denominations who just aren't marrying like they used to. I've heard these conversations. And if you're in a church that doesn't have this issue, then praise God. But this is an issue. And as a young man, which is, you know, it's not like I don't talk to young women. I probably spent more time exposing feminism and talking about reviling wives. I wrote a song about the Proverbs 7 woman. I mean, I've spent a lot of bandwidth on that, but I know that most of my audience is men, and it's men I think that I can probably have more of an influence over in this moment. And it's men specifically I'm thinking about, have more experience about. You as a young man have tremendous influence, more than perhaps you know. You have a God-given ability to lead. It's even something that, just in a natural way, God has given you in the form of your own testosterone. You are built in a different way than women are built. And yes, I know we're in a very unstable and deracinated time. Many of us have moved around. Many of us don't have stable family environments. We didn't grow up in that. Some of you suffer from fatherlessness, whether that's spiritual fatherlessness or just not even having a supportive dad in your own life. There's many holes. There's many problems that you could point to and legitimately be upset about. And I have tremendous compassion for that. I think that that's one of the things I'd like to say to older people is, you know, if you don't have people you're mentoring, especially in your church, get busy. There are the harvest is there. The fields are ripe. But if you're a young man who's just starting out, you have the world's your oyster. You have tremendous influence, and you can channel that influence in various ways, constructive ends or destructive ends. The most constructive end you can channel your energies toward is not being the president of the United States. I really don't believe that. I think that has tremendous value, obviously, but I think there's a primary thing that God has given each one of us. Unless we have, and it's a very small group of people who have this, the gift of singleness, the natural state of affairs is for you to desire to have a wife in marriage. And I know some of you are thinking right now, man, I have desired that and it just hasn't happened. And I'm very upset. It hurts when someone brings this up. You feel maybe that you're not performing the way you should, or there's something wrong with you, or the circumstances are just against you. And why can't someone have a little understanding? Well, I do. It's something we've talked about many times. I do have understanding about that. The circumstances are not ideal in many ways. I'll go through some stats with you. Again, people were upset that I was saying that young men can go and ask a girl on a date, and if they get rejected, ask another girl on a date, because they didn't qualify it. Some people thought that I didn't add in the fact that the circumstances are very difficult. Well, that's this podcast. That's what we talked about this many times. And so I'm not ignorant of that at all, but this is the time God has put you on earth for. In his sovereignty and his providence, this is something we need to get back to, the idea of providence. God, for whatever reason, decided to put you on earth in 2025. And he has something for you to do. He has good works that he's predestined for you to do if you are in Christ. That means that there's purpose and there's mission to your life. I don't know fully what that is. That's something that I think unfolds as you live. It's something that God reveals in his own timing. I do believe, though, that one of the basic things is pursuing marriage, finding a wife. He who finds a wife finds a good thing. It is good for a man, or I should say is not good for a man to be alone. It is good to leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. This is something that, on a basic level, no matter what else you're doing, I think if you're a normal average man, you need to be pursuing, even if you get rejected. I remember a few years ago, the Revoice movement was becoming more popular in the evangelical world. And the Revoice movement soft-pedaled homosexuality. And there were some comments made at some of their conferences that implied that you could never change. If you were homosexual, that was it. You would never, if you wanted to live as a Christian, have a family. You would never get married. You would never enjoy those things. And there were people who thought this was so godly because you were giving that all up to follow Jesus, because you just were not wired to have those things. You couldn't desire a wife. Well, I remember on this podcast many times I said that was rubbish, absolutely rubbish. What do you just give up? I mean, Greg Cole's book was one of the ones that I just thought took the cake on this, because there's a man in his 20s, not even in his 30s yet, and he's saying, this is just who I am. It's game over. I'm not going to be married. Don't you feel sorry for me that I'll never be married? Well, how do you know that? How do you limit God? Do you think that the Holy Spirit can't change your own circumstances and help you conform your desires to his so that you can be in a position to get married? I mean, do you just give up? Do you stop? Do you just not even consider the possibility that maybe there's a woman out there that you could be attracted to and love and have a family with? I mean, we if you've listened to the podcast for a while, we've been there. We've all been there. This is different, but there are people out there who are telling you. I almost queued up the clips and I thought the better of it. I thought the better of it because of time and because it thought it would be distracting. I could name them. There are influencers out there that who are becoming popular, even in Christian circles, though they're not Christians, that will try to convince you that the game is too rigged, that even dating is homosexual. Homosexuals are the ones who date. It's just to get married, to date, that's not something that a real man would be interested in. Some people have said this is Nietzschean vitalism. There's all sorts of terms, but whatever it is, it's poison. It's absolute poison. That's just not true. That's just like the Revoice stuff telling men, you're just trapped in this. You can't get out. You're a slave to your desires. This one just says you're a slave to the circumstances around you. Too many women are feminists. Too many women have been indoctrinated. They're going to leave you when they're 35, even if it looks good now. Because that does happen sometimes, and those examples are trumpeted. So just don't even bother. Or it's just in their nature. This is just the way the world is. I'm sorry, that's not the way the world is. That's a lie. God did not create women to be feminists. He actually created them. He wired them. And this is kind of one of the things that's going to play into my 10 rules here. But he wired women to be receptive to a man who leads. Now, you might say, in my experience, women, they just can't stand that. Yeah, of course, there's women who reject leadership. There's also women who have certainly been indoctrinated, just like there's also men who have been indoctrinated into various things, too. But yes, feminism has done a number. There's no doubt about this. But there's something in the natural order, which is what I'm talking about, that is that God has placed there. It's a design that's fundamental, where men lead and women are helpers. Women are attracted to him. I've seen this even with some feminists, where they have their ideology, but then when there's a man that's attractive, I mean, it's how God wired them, it goes out the window. Not saying that's a universal experience, but even a girl who's bought into some feminist logic today doesn't mean that she's going to buy into all of it tomorrow. Some of these women need to be rescued out of it. Some of them might be, you know, too far gone and not worth your time. So you have to do a triage. You have to assess the situation. But if you don't talk to girls, you won't be able to do it. You have to at least talk to them, right? That's kind of basic number one. So this is my encouragement. As a man, you have tremendous potential. God puts you on this earth for a purpose. And that purpose has to include his basic creation mandates. If you have the desire to get married, then don't stop pursuing it. Don't just give up. I don't care if you're 40 years old. Don't give up on that. That's something worthy of pursuing. That's a good thing. There are women out there who I know, because I get them in my DMs every once in a while too, reaching out just to say that they, they haven't asked me to like hook them up with a guy who might be to connect them, but almost like just saying like, I've been wanting to find a godly man. Where are they? I've had a few of those, and big fan of your podcast. Where do I go? I don't know. I don't know. It depends, but I do know that there are some quality women out there. I know some personally who have not been married yet. And if you have to go through 100 women dating, talking to them, trying to figure them out before you find that one, it's worth it. It's totally worth it. So yes, the hill might be steeper. The going might be tough. It might be a hard thing to go through to try to find that person, but it's worth it when you get there. And it's not just a selfish kind of worth it. It is a worth it because it's the fulfillment of who you are. God also designed you to lead someone, to be nourished by someone, and to protect them, and to provide for them, and to have children, and to enjoy them, and to, yes, they can be a pain sometimes, but they are a blessing from the Lord. And this is a good thing. It's a good dream not to give up on. I know men in their 40s, sometimes 50s, who it was their first time, that's when they finally found that person. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. It takes finding. It takes effort. Don't give up. Don't give up. There's hope. There's a path out there for you, okay? And you are in a position to save our civilization. You might be one link in a chain, one block on a wall. You might be one step in a process, but it is an important process. If we don't have people getting married and having kids, it's game over. What's the point, right? So that's why I care about this issue on a macro level. Now, on a micro level, I actually know several guys, and of course, I've been encouraging them and trying to help in any way I can, and even commiserating when I hear about some of the horror stories. Some of you have been through a lot, and I get that. But it doesn't mean that marriage is bad. It doesn't mean that it's out of your reach. It doesn't mean God can't redeem circumstances, even if you've messed up. There's always a path to redemption here, okay? Jesus has made that clear. That's what his blood is for. And it cannot be wrong to pursue the good that God has universally given to everyone. So, all right, so that's my spiel there. I want to get to some comments, and certainly you can give me any of the comments or concerns or questions or cries of outrage that you have. But I want to encourage you, and I want to give you some practical advice here. So what we'll do is I will go through some of my advice, and then after that, I will give you some stats, and I will go through some social media posts and we'll see where we get. But I want to start out with some of the advice if I can, because I know that's why a lot of people are watching. So here's my 10 rules for dating. For those who are interested in this kind of thing, this is, I guess, the wisdom that I've picked up. And since some of you think I'm a boomer, apparently, at 36, I am a boomer. I dated 10 years ago, but I guess the landscape has changed so much, apparently, that my advice is so archaic. But, you know, the Bible's advice is not archaic. The Bible's advice is universal, right? It's timeless. And I think that's why I feel comfortable doing this, giving you some timeless advice suited to what I believe the circumstances are now. And I still stand by what I've said about dating. I'll get into dating courtship in a minute, but let's just go through it. Number one, know what you want in a relationship, but keep your expectations realistic. Know what you want in a relationship, but keep your expectations realistic. Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, I think it's important to, you're not going to know everything. You have to at least talk to some girls if you're a guy. You have to get to know them to know a little bit about what you want. This is a process. But I think on the outset, you should know some basic things, right? She should be a Christian if you're a Christian, right? Maybe if you're going into a dangerous field, she needs to be okay with that. She needs to be okay with being a military wife, for example, or a pastor's wife, or whatever role that's going to require of her. You need to understand what kinds of things are non-negotiables. Now, if she's from a culture that you just don't find compatible, you need to know that. So these are the kinds of things you need to figure out. Now, some guys get into like very specific things, like she needs to like my music and she needs to be into my hobbies. I mean, it's nice if you find a girl who likes those things, but let's face it, if you are 35 years old and it hasn't worked out, you might need to go back to the drawing board a little bit and reconsider how stringent you want those things. What are the important things? What are you really looking for? What kind of characteristics? And then go to work. So keep your expectations realistic. Don't make them too high where it's, you know, as Pastor Tanner Cartwright had said that, you know, there's guys who are, they're fives or sixes. I don't like using those scales necessarily, but how else do you communicate this? And they want a girl, they think they deserve a girl who's a nine or a 10, right? And of course, girls do this probably much more often where they think they're all that. And you have to be realistic here. You have to judge righteously, first of all. And be willing to see the beauty in a girl who maybe doesn't sweep you away and knock you off your feet and take your breath away when you first see her. But over time, you realize her personality, her love for the Lord, her smile, those things actually mean a lot. I've seen this happen where you become more attractive to someone over time, right? And I think all good marriages, the husband says that, you know, I'm more attracted to you now than I was when we got married. It's like, well, the woman has more wrinkles. How is that possible? She's put on a few pounds. Well, it's because you get to know the person more. So have a holistic standard here. Number two, pray, take initiative, and trust God with the outcome. That's all you can do, right? You can't do anything else. So you got to pray, take initiative, and trust God. So be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, Philippians 4:6. Don't be anxious about it. Just do what you can do and leave the rest to God. That, because there is no other option. So you pray for that person that you'll find that person. Then you go out there, you look for them. You might have to go online. You might have to visit other churches or other college career groups. Or you might have to travel. You might have to go to a mixer like the ones Jerry Doris and Tanner Cartwright do out in Kentucky. You may have to do a lot of different things. It may take effort. It may take time. It may take some money. But whatever you have to do, you go look. He who finds a wife finds a good thing, right? And then trust God. If it doesn't work out the first, second, third, fourth, fifth time, what about the sixth, right? That's what you do. Number three, men should lead and take the initiative in pursuing, okay? And this comes from a few things. Number one, the example of Christ. Christ Jesus pursued the church. The church didn't pursue Christ. Number two, Proverbs 18:22 says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. I keep quoting that. Well, that means finding. That means the man is really the initiator. Now, I want to say something to the ladies here. That doesn't mean a woman can't make it known that she's available. It doesn't mean a woman can't make herself be pretty and attractive and let people know that she's looking, she'd like to get married, those kinds of things. But to go from non-exclusive to exclusive and we're pursuing marriage, this is really the guy's initiative. And the whole rest of the relationship, if it leads to marriage, is going to be the guy takes the initiative. That's the way it should go. And I see a lot of guys that want to game the system, which gets into my next one. Don't overthink, avoid over-strategizing or consulting all her friends. Now, you may be tempted to get yourself into a position where you're guaranteed that she's going to say yes. You might talk to her friends to try to see what she's thinking, try to get in her head, try to just really peruse her social media, and you might put little feelers out there. Some of this is flirting, and I don't think that's all wrong, by the way, the putting some feelers out there. But the motive is important. If the motive becomes that you are trying to essentially guarantee the outcome because you're afraid, you don't want to be hurt, well, guess what? You may be hurt, and that's part of being a man, unfortunately. And you're welcome to the rest of your life. You're going to be in positions where it's risky, where it's tough. That's just who you are. So don't. And the other thing is this can blow up in your face. If I've seen this, let's just say this. I've seen this way too many times. It's way too common where a guy tries too many manipulative techniques. He's not direct. And this becomes the problem for the girl. The girl's no longer attracted sometimes because it just seems wimpy. It seems effeminate to her. It's not, she wants a man who's confident and knows where he's going. And she can at least respect a guy that she says no to. But a guy who comes up to her and tries to say the right things and present himself as something he's not and figure out what she likes so he can pretend that he likes it. I mean, it blows up in your face. The mask eventually comes off. And if you're talking to her friends to try to get an inside scoop, they will likely go and talk to her. So just don't do it. It's not a good idea. And it'll probably end in disaster. Just because it worked for some guy you know doesn't mean it's going to work for you also. And I know a lot of influencers online, they're going to give you the real key to finding a woman. Like, this is how they think. This is what you got to do. It's good to be direct. Now, that doesn't mean being blunt. It doesn't mean being rude. But it does mean at least allowing your intentions to go out there publicly and being willing to suffer rejection if she says no. Number five, before going exclusive, make sure you've met her parents or family. And this goes along with honoring father and mother, because if you marry her, they're going to be your in-laws. You are going to, together, be honoring her father and mother. And so they have the responsibility to protect her at this point. And so you want to make sure that they are vetting you, that they know you, that you are safe, that, and there's different stages people say when you should do this, you should do it before having a date. That might be, put some pressure on the relationship. I did something similar to that. I actually had a date and then I talked to the father. But I think at some point when it starts getting more serious, you definitely need to have a conversation with the father. And circumstances are different today. This is maybe getting us into a little of the dating courtship. You may be in a position where the girl doesn't have a good relationship with her father. She may be off at college. The mechanisms that are normally in place are not there. If they're not, then you might want to find out who her pastor is, or if she has another man in her life who's older that you can talk to, an uncle or something, a grandparent, and be cool about it. Just say, hey, I really like your granddaughter, really like your daughter, really interested in this girl in your congregation, and just kind of wanted to let you know that because I know that you care about her, and I want the best for her. And so if you ever have any concerns or questions, please let me know. That definitely helps. Six, ask thoughtful questions and watch how she carries herself in different situations. So asking thoughtful questions means you're not just monologuing about yourself. You're getting to know her and you want to know specific things about her. I had a list. This may not be the way to go. I had 100 questions I came up with. And I asked my now wife over the course of months these various questions. And I was probably a little too quick on some of them. I asked her about joint bank accounts a few weeks in, and I think it freaked her out. But you find the questions that you think would be good to get to actually know her and then ask her, let her talk about herself. And put yourself in various situations with her so you can see how she actually functions when you're not just having fun. You want to see her when things aren't fun, because most of life, if you marry her, isn't always going to be rah, rah, rah fun. There's going to be trials. How does she react to them? Be a gentleman. Number seven, don't put on an act, be yourself. So Romans 12, 9 says, let love be without hypocrisy, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. This goes for all relationships, but for this one especially, you don't want to be a hypocrite. You don't want her to find out things about you that she was surprised about. You want to be yourself, but you want to be the best version of yourself. So, you know, put on a nice shirt, clean your truck. I mean, this stuff should go without saying. Put on some deodorant, take a shower, go pick her up and open the door for her. Don't make her open the door to get into your truck. If you're walking on the sidewalk, take the outside when you're walking. Oh, John, you're such a boomer. These are so archaic. Well, guess what? Maybe the boomers conserved some things. Not everything they believed was liberalism. So if we cast it all away, we're actually getting rid of some tradition that might be good. That's one of the things that might be good. So do that. And yes, looking at your boss's eye in your boss's eye while you shake his hand is a good thing. People are mocking me for that. Like, you probably think that shaking your boss's hand and looking him in the eye would be good. And actually, I'm like, yeah, actually. And I'm proud of it. I don't care. I don't think we should get rid of decorum and standards. But what are you? I mean, are you trying to like disintegrate our society? I mean, get rid of standards? No, let's uphold them. So she will notice that. Now, you don't have to be take it too far where you're speaking in poetic 19th century language to her. That comes at, like, be yourself, right? But be the best version of yourself. That's the idea here. If you wouldn't feel comfortable doing it, number eight, with your sister, don't do it with her. This is really important, all right? If you wouldn't do it with your sister, don't do it with her. You mean I can't kiss her? Well, would you kiss your sister? Right? Maybe on the cheek. In some cultures, maybe it would be on the mouth, but it wouldn't be a long kiss, right? I can't hold her hand. Do you hold your sister's hand? All right. This is a principle, and I get it from 1 Timothy 5:2, treat younger women as sisters in all purity. That's all you have to do. Treat her like a sister. Okay. Some of you guys out there, some of you might be listening, have taken this a little too far where you've over-sexualized everything into, any kind of display of affection, any compliment, any, it's all sexualized. It's all read through this sexual. And so you just stay away from all of it. You know, if you read older books from the 19th century, especially, like for example, Robert E. Lee, he was known as a flirt. Now, I don't know if that was the word used at the time. I think that might be modern historians imposing. But the reason they say that is because he was complimentary towards women. He had a great relationship with his wife. She wasn't threatened by this. I'd love to return to a time, and you have to be judicious about this because circumstances have changed, but a time where you can say things that are complimentary, especially if you're with a girlfriend. You can even say she looks nice. You like that dress, whatever. And it's not weird or creepy, right? You got to think through this maybe before you go and exercise it today, because we've the Me Too stuff has completely just buzzsawed the differences between men and women. So men and women don't know how to treat each other, but maybe read some older literature and start to think of creative ways where you can actually bring some of this back. I'm not telling you to hold the hand of your girlfriend or your fiance. Maybe it's better if you don't do that, but I'm also saying if that's something that you would do with a sister, that there's no reason it's wrong. Don't sexualize everything. Okay. But neither get yourself into a position where you are actually doing sinful things sexually with a member of the opposite sex. And that gets into my point nine. Remember, nothing good happens after midnight. I stole this, not steal, but I'm taking it from someone who used to go to my church who had daughters. And now it means a lot that I have a daughter. So he said, nothing good happens after midnight. He'd always say that. I remember thinking when I was a teenager, he was a youth group leader of mine. I was like, I don't think that's true. I mean, you know, some of my best work, some of my best songs, some of my greatest laughs happen after midnight. But I know he was right about that, actually. And you see in scripture, I just picked one verse, a number of verses about this, but Romans 13:12, the night is almost gone and the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness, put on the armor of light. It has nothing to do with dating, but it does have to do with this. There's a association that evil has with the night because it's under the cover of darkness. You don't think anyone's watching. You're tired. Your defenses are down. You're not thinking straight. Don't even get on the phone if I were you after midnight. Just don't do it. Unless it's an emergency, don't get on these long phone calls. End it at some point. It gets bad. It can get bad when you do things late at night like this. Just word to the wise. Number 10, seek wise counsel from trusted friends, family, or mentors. Proverbs 11:14, where there is no guidance, the people fall, but in an abundance of counselors, there is victory. So you want to make sure there's input from people you trust into this whole situation. Okay. Those are my 10 rules for dating. That's it. I'll take some questions on it. Then we'll get to some social media stuff, some stats, and we'll end the podcast. But I hope that was helpful. Okay. And this is just a framework. Maybe you're someone who didn't think of one of these, and now you're taking it to heart, and it'll help you in your future circumstances in pursuing a girl. So I'm not giving you any formulas to, this is how you really get her to like you or anything. No. These are just more, these flow out of virtue, understanding what scripture says, experience. And I think that they are also not about just getting someone to like you. They are about what would make for a lasting marriage. Okay. All right. Let me get to some questions here. And I can't obviously get to all of them, but I'll try to get to some if I can. Matt says, I had 3 rules. They had to be a Christian. At any time in the dating time, I came to view that this is not for me. I end it. I needed one who was open to moving. So it's really kind of 2, isn't it? Christian and open to moving. Then we have cosmic treason. I'm 4 more qualified than the guys that get married at 22. But the attitude of both these men and women my age is that I'm not qualified enough now. Seems like people are expecting a lot more based on your age. I think. If I'm understanding this, I do think we have standards that have lowered, to be quite honest. It's probably best and healthiest to get married when you're younger, when there's peak fertility and you have peak strength and you can really start building a life together. If you do it when you're older, people want to get settled. I understand that. But there are drawbacks to that, especially for women. They do have a time clock on how many children they can have and so forth. And I think you get more set in your ways the older you get. So I would encourage you, do hard things while you're in your teenage years. That's the prep time. And you're really, you know, once you turn 18, that used to be a time when you started to be eligible. You could get married, not in the distant past either. We look at 18-year-olds as kids now because the maturity has changed so much. And there's been a lot of enabling and, frankly, a lot of juvenile pastimes are popular. And I think college has extended adolescence because it's a big frat party for many people. I saw this video not long ago of this amusement park opening earlier this year in Orlando. And it was for kids. And everyone running in, though, was 30 or older, it looked like. And you're thinking, what went wrong with this society, right? Don't be like that, right? If you can help it. Now, if you're downstream from that, I mean, just mature now, but start doing the things that make for maturity. Andrew says, some of those superficial things, music hobbies, you may not even like yourself in a few decades. That's so true. Yeah, don't base your whole thing on that, right? Henry reminded me of something, John. I've been working on figuring out a private contract law arrangement to create a biblical agreement and bypass family court. Thoughts? Man, I don't know your circumstance exactly. I wish I could read more of this. If you're in a dispute of some kind, yeah. I mean, if you have two parties who are Christians, I think it's always better to settle it outside of court, though. Okay. Statistics man. Hello, everybody. I'm here to support John, even though I have no plans to ever use this. LOL. Thank you for your support, statistics man. We'll get to some statistics in a moment. Henry says, definitely agree with meeting your family. If your family is a mess, she will bring a mess into your relationship. You know, my dad said something. My dad said, you know, son, when you look at her mother, look at how her mother acts, she'll probably be similar to her mother. Some girls aren't. Some girls take offense to this, but I'd say that's actually pretty accurate. Girl, they tend to mimic their mom because that's who they learned from if they had a good relationship with their mom. And also know that you're not just marrying her, you're marrying the family. He was so right. You are marrying a family. So do you want to be part of this family? Matt Mark says, what if you are a man and can't drive for medical reasons, but otherwise are solid? Well, it does make things a little more difficult, probably with some people, but you're not going to be dating those people. So you can't, I think that's what you're probably getting at, is who's going to drive for the date. I think it's perfectly fine if she drives. You can still be the initiator. You can still be the one to contact her. You can even pay for the gas. But obviously there's something in nature that's a dysfunction, right? I have some health issues myself, and they kept me back from some things when I was younger. I had asthma. I also had Hashimoto's. I still have that, which is a thyroid condition, right? These are natural disorders that will keep you back from some things. I couldn't join the military because of it. But what do? You find something else to do, right? I really wanted to go in the military at one point. So you just have to work around it. But no, I don't think there's nothing that says that she can't drive. Betty says, my two oldest grandsons are dating. I screenshotted this. Hope that's okay. Good list. I tell them, all my 12 grandkids, that I'm praying for their spouse. That's very wise. Prayer is so important. Okay. I'm going to continue on here, and we're going to talk just a little bit about some Twitter stuff, and then get into, actually, let's do the stats first, and then we'll do some Twitter stuff, and then we'll end the show here. All right. So just real quick, I mean, you're probably tired of hearing this stuff from me. That is not what I wanted to show you. Okay. Newsweek had a story. The title of the story is Fears Over America's Birth Rate Grow. And this is from October 1st, not ancient history. More than half of Americans are now worried about the declining birth rate. Some 53% of people surveyed in a Pew Research poll said that fewer people not having children would negatively impact the United States. Fertility rate will average just 1.6 births per woman over the next three decades, well short of the 2.1 needed for a stable population. So just to tread water, you need 2.1, and we're going to 1.6. This is death spiral stuff. Men, 59%, are more likely than women, 48%, to be concerned about the birth rate. While partisanship plays a big role, 63% of Republicans and GOP leaners are declining. So conservatives want families more. No surprises there. So this gets into policy and what we're supposed to do, which I'm not going to get into necessarily in this podcast, something we talk about quite a bit. But this is frontline news on Newsweek, very recent. This is from September 19th, so earlier in the month. Gen Z's priorities are troubling for America's future. Richard Land highlights a poll that is from the NBC News. And it says that 34% of men who voted for Trump said having children was an important priority. Now, these are the cream of the crop conservative men, right? They're only 34% say, like, that's men. Well, it ranked at 9% among male Harris voters. Goodness gracious. Among female Trump voters, 26%, and then 6% of Harris female voters. No wonder the American birth rate has now declined to historic lows. On a related subject of being married, 29% of male voters listed marriage as a top priority. 29%, not even 30% of male Trump voters listed marriage as a top priority. I've heard all day from some people that, like, this is not a problem. We totally have enough men who are interested in marriage. They just can't get anywhere. Well, whether it's they couldn't get anywhere and gave up, or whether they gave up out of the gate, or whatever it is, these stats don't, they're not good if these are accurate. I don't even want to read anymore because it's so depressing. Here's another story for you. This is from 2024. So this is actually a little, it's dated. It's from last year. But it says that, if I can find it here, it's 45, no, 46. There it is. Okay. 62% of Americans who had a steady girlfriend or boyfriend during most of all their teenage years report being married today, compared to less than half, 46% of those who did not. The gap is even wider among younger Americans. Let's see here. That wasn't the stat I think I wanted to read. Okay. UCLA finds that young adults 18 to 24 want to see less sex and romance in their television shows. That's not what I wanted to read either. Okay. Gen Z men are dating less. Here it is. This is, I think, the bar chart. Dating less during their teen years. here's the stats. Baby boomers dated the most. Only 20% of baby boomers did not date at all. 44% of Gen Z. 44%. That is startling. It is absolutely startling. So people aren't dating. This is not just Christians. This is everyone, right? People aren't dating. So in response to this, I said, single men, find a girl you think you might like. Walk up to her. Ask her if she'd like to go on a date with you. If she says no, try again with another girl as many times as it takes. You can do this. Seems encouraging, right? So I'm trying to do is encourage. I can't show you all the blowback because some of it was from very salty accounts, but I'll show you a little bit. Mr. Star, see, some of these guys, I thought about this today. It was easy to critique the social justice movement because we knew their leaders. It was in all our institutions, etc. When you're critiquing whatever this is, this sort of like, some people say it's just Nietzschean vitalism, whatever it is, this black-pilled on marriage and blaming women. It's not just blaming feminism. It's like some of these guys legitimately are blaming women. They have gripes. It's like Edgelord 223. Like, what do you do with that, right? I'm going to go discredit Edgelord 223, but there's a sizable amount of anons. I don't think that this is a small thing anymore. Like, it's not just, oh, just ignore it. It's anon. Well, yeah, sometimes, but you got an anon here that has almost 3,000 likes. I did this at my college and they literally opened up a sexual harassment investigation into me and got me expelled. Now I'm on the verge of homelessness and working in the trades. Now, whether that's true or not, let's just pretend it is. I don't know. That seems very far-fetched, but you ask a girl, you say, if you'd like to go out to dinner sometime, if you'd like to get coffee, well, let's make it, you know, if you'd like to go get coffee sometime, I'd love to take you. If that gets you a sexual harassment charge, that alone, then remember sovereignty and providence. Maybe you're the one that needs to do the case that sets the precedent to get this ridiculousness thrown out. Maybe you're the one, and I hate to you know, it's a sacrificial lamb, but maybe see a purpose in it here. That's ridiculous. Your society dies if people are afraid to talk to a girl. If you can't even talk to a girl, then we'll give up, right? Society's dead. There's no point in going forward. I mean, you have to talk to them to get to know them to be able to marry them. So if that is the case, then show me the alternative. No one, the guys who are saying things like this are not giving any alternatives. They're not giving anything constructive. It's just you're a boomer, John. You're not giving us anything that's worth considering. It's like, okay, give me something then. We need to go from A to B. We have a population decline. We're not holding on to our own culture. Multiple factors against that, but this is one of them. Tell me, what do you do? How, on a macro level, we could talk government policies, we could talk a whole bunch of things, but it seems like no matter what plan we have, it's going to involve communicating with a woman. And if you can't do that, if you're scared of it because you will get on sexual harassment charges and you'll have to work in the trades, oh, what could be worse than working in the trades? Oh my goodness. I worked in the trades for 10 years, some of the best years. Then what's the point? I mean, why don't you just go pursue your hobbies, be a hedonist, live life the way you want to live it. You treat women, I guess, as if they're, I don't even know. You can't treat women because you can't talk to women. Okay. So just go to your hobbies, have your male friends. I don't know. I mean, that's where tell me where else this would lead, right? These are not options. But they're getting a lot of traction. This was just another post that I put out there. Yeah, I didn't show this story. This is a recent story, September 23rd, How We Fell Out of Love with Marriage by Allison Raskin. Anyway, it was from Bendel Wary on X. He said, literally having to bully young guys in the group chat to ask girls out on dates, this race is going to fail. Now, for some reason, I don't know. He's saying this race is going to fail. He's going farther than I'm going. I don't know why he gets the, I don't know. Some of the same people going after me, I think are totally fine with him. In fact, I've been compared to him. Like, why can't you be more like Ben? It's like, I don't know. I'm retweeting Ben. I'm supportive of Ben. Maybe I should be more like Ben. Maybe I should start saying this race is going to fail and be so black-pilled on it. That's kind of concerning to me. I think Ben's doing the right thing, but if you have guys that the group chat ostracizing you is going to be the motive to ask a girl out, like what kinds of mechanisms in your, the world right in front of you in real life, what kinds of mechanisms are failing that you have to go to an online group chat to get the kind of encouragement and the push to go do this? I don't know what to say to that. Like that's another issue that I'm like, the group chat shouldn't be that important where they're the ones, but if that's what it takes, I'm supporting Ben 100%. That's what it takes. All right. All right. So if you're in the group chat and that's the last line of defense, you tell those single guys, if they like the girl, go, hey, what's the worst that'll happen? She says no. And you have your heart broken, but you can at least move on after you heal up and talk to another girl. Involuntary celibate, bad advice. Cold approaching random women on the street and asking them out in 2025 is a humiliation ritual that will only leave you more frustrated. Right. This is sort of like the Nick Fuentes. It's homosexual to date a girl. Actually, no, this is what we need to do more of. And I'll tell you why. We are so disconnected and we have such a filter because of screens and technology that guys do not want to actually go do the necessary thing to actually get to know a girl. And I'm not saying all guys, I'm just saying that this is a tendency in our digital age, right? Tendency for girls too. There's safety behind the screen. So marriage isn't like that. Marriage is real and you better get used to it starting at some point that you are going to have to face that person. Otherwise you also waste a lot of time because someone can project anything they want. It's easy through the filter of social media. You get to know them when you see them in different circumstances. You get to see their expressions and in real time how they react without thinking about it, their reflexes. That's what I'm talking about. That's what you need to do now more than ever because the deception online is at an all-time high. So actually, yes. And also cold approaching women, no. That's obviously not what I said. A girl you might like means you've had some experience with her. Now, that may mean you have to go to find a church where there are girls present or a college career group or something like that, a young singles group or a mixer. It might mean you do need to go online for that initial start, but then you go from online to real life as soon as you can. But you may need to, that's where you need to go to try to find them. Use a dating service or something like that, a courtship, whatever word you want to use. So yes, I know something about the person. You have to in order to like them on some level, right? TJ says this, and he got quite a bit of traction. I thought you were younger than me, John, but apparently you're a boomer. I got a lot of people saying I'm a boomer. You really shouldn't be giving single men advice when you have no clue. I have no clue. Stay in your lane and give married men advice. Your single advice, I'll just say, stinks. Okay, well, I mean, that's just an ad hominem, right? There's nothing substantive there. It's just, I don't like you is the summation of that, which that's a lot of it. But I don't know if, I have no clue who this guy is in real life. So I don't know if there's wounds that have opened up because of reminder. I have no clue, but I'll just say this. I thought about sharing my story, right? And I don't really want to share it fully. And it's not, there's nothing to hide or embarrassing or anything. It's just, It's, I don't know how relevant it is, right? Like, so I've dated a number of girls. Some dates were one time and I could realize on the first date, this wasn't probably going to work. And then they were more casual. It's just like, let's go to Dunkin' Donuts and talk. Let's go to Starbucks back when you could go to Starbucks and let's talk. Right. I was friends with girls. I tried to be, and there were some girls I actually became pretty good friends with. In group settings primarily. But a lot of this was through mechanisms like church and college career groups and homeschool groups. I did meet some girls at college and at work, but most of the time those were girls I wasn't interested in pursuing. I did go on one date with a girl who was outside of those Christian circles but it was one date. I realized, you know, you could tell right away this wasn't going to work. So I don't know, just be friendly and try to be normal as much as you can and don't put pressure on it initially. You're just getting to know the person, right? Just like you would a friend. And as it gets more, you don't have to, this is one of the things about courtship. Like you don't have to figure out if you're going to marry them before you actually date them. That actually puts a pressure that makes, I think you can get into a bad relationship when you have that kind of pressure initially. So just play it cool. That's all I'll say. Like, And at some point you do have to make the connection, and I'm open to ideas. If there's a better way to do it, then show me. But just, I'm getting all this negative stuff, but no positive. Like, what? There was one pot. Well, I didn't show it. There was this girl who got some traction who was saying, you should go up to a girl and just ask her, can I flirt with you? Instead of, can I take you out to coffee or dinner? And I'm like, I'm thinking, well, I mean, I've never heard that. I think that would be more likely to get you in trouble with harassment and so forth. Can I flirt with you? But hey, if as Rush Limbaugh says, if in Rio Linda, that's what you got to do. If that's the as in Rio Linda, do in Rio Linda. So, okay. I mean, if that's what you have to do to go from A to B, and I only would mean flirt in a very innocent sense of like that. It's just so weird. I can't imagine. It's so weird. Don't do that unless you know what she's talking about. Because I don't. I want to joke with you. I don't know. Have small talk with you. Can I have small talk with you? Why don't you say, hey, would you want to get coffee sometime? You don't have to answer me now. Let me know. Okay. King Trout says, what an embarrassing, gay way to ask a girl out. Okay. It's very gay to ask a girl out by saying, would you like to go out? I don't know. I'm married. I've got a girl, little girl. I feel like it's worked out for me. I dated other girls and had, you know, I felt like decent relationships. I don't know. That advice always seemed to work. It's just like, go ask. She says no. She says no. All right. David Edgington, who I respect, he's been on the podcast a few times, says casual dating is not the way forward. And I'll just say this briefly. If it's dating without the intention of eventually getting married and you're just there to have fun, and there's no thought that you eventually want to get married, right? If you're not going to cut it off, even though you know this person is not the person you would want to marry, then yes. That's not what I'm talking about, obviously, though. I am talking, and maybe it's not obvious to some, so that's not what I'm talking about. I am saying you have to start somewhere. And if it's a courtship model and you're in a high trust society, a group, a church where you can do that, then praise God, right? If you can get to know this girl in group settings under supervision as much as possible with outside input and maybe even a chaperone, I'm all for it. Go do it, but just do it. I think in most circumstances, that world has largely evaporated, but the places it still exists, go do it. All right. I'm with David Edgington. All right. Sure. Don't do casual dating then, but do something. And it's going to involve talking to a girl at some point. All right. George Spalding says, step one, develop yourself into a man. Ask well-married men to tell you one thing to improve about yourself and work on it. Then don't ask for a date. Have a little game. Talk to girls. See who seems to like you. Ask her to go do something together. I'm all for having a little, I don't know. I don't like the word game. I'm all for having a little bit of introspection about yourself. Just a little. To see, you know, maybe you are being, I mean, I think some people read their experience into these things. Some people needed that for themselves, so they think everyone needs it. I don't know. If you are getting shot down a lot, okay, then you probably do, you should talk to someone that's older than you that you trust. Just ask them, hey, do I have boogers on my nose? Like, is there something that's going on here? Now, this is a very sensitive topic, but hey, do I need to go lose a bunch of weight? Is there something blaringly obvious that, you know, and I'm not saying you can't as an overweight person get married at all. I'm just saying like it might decrease some of your chances with some girls. So those are the kinds of things. Yeah. Maybe you do need to do some self-improvement, but it doesn't mean you don't stop looking. It doesn't mean you don't stop trying to find a wife. Okay. Getting to the near the end here. Oh, that is the end. Okay. Those are the only ones I wanted to show you, I guess. I'll take some questions. We'll land the plane. John, should a man always expect a woman to move to where he is? Should a man ever expect to move to where the woman is? That all depends, to be honest with you. It depends on circumstance. I think in general, the woman's going to move to where the man is because the man's on a mission from God and she's going to be the helpmate on that mission. And usually the geographic location for that, the job, whatever it is going to be in an area of them. Now, there are men who have jobs where they can move. They have flexibility. And maybe I've seen this where a man doesn't have a very strong family unit. They don't have a lot of support structure. They have nothing to lose. And they'll go and they'll move into this strong ingrained support structure that the wife has. So I think it all depends on circumstance, but I think the wife needs to be willing to move. Certainly. That's hard for some people. I mean, look, it's to be a woman and to grow up and then you better trust the guy that's leading you. I know why that can be apprehensive. You want a guy that loves you, that cares about you, that's going to take your best interest into account. Ryan says, we teach our boy to get their lives in order, job, etc., making themselves into marriage material. Hold your own standards high. Pray for a woman who can make you better. Amen. Yurter, should I go to a seeker-sensitive church with girls or a biblically accurate church full of boomers with no girls? Will this dictate my Sunday? I actually have told people that if you can do both, try to do both, in the sense of if there's like a Bible study, a small group, a service at a different time. Yeah, go to the one that's a little watered down that has more girls, so that, I mean, you got to fish where the fish are, right? So go there, and girls, they're going to follow. That's how they're designed. I should put it this way. Not they're going to, as it's a foregone conclusion, but the design is they're supposed to be following a man who's got purpose and vision. So, yes, I mean, even to get personal, I suppose, and a little autobiographical, I would say that, yeah, every single one of the girls that I think I've ever dated was either not, I don't think any of them were reformed in their soteriology. Yeah, now I'm thinking about it. I don't know if any of them were. I had the mindset of, because I wanted a girl who was committed to the Lord and would bend to Scripture, would submit to Scripture. That was it, really, for the spiritual qualifications there. I wanted her to have a submissive spirit and so forth. Her theology, you know, if she went to a charismatic church, I knew with as I was able to lead her in Scripture that she would bend what the Scripture said. And sure enough, that is what I've seen multiple times. So that would be my advice. Let's see. Here's a question, I think. What authority do I have over women I'm not married to? That's a good question. You actually really don't have much authority over women you're not married to. But if you're in a pursuit, if you're pursuing dating, marriage, and so you're not married yet, but you're pursuing that, you're kind of, it's a stage where you are examining what the person would be like if you went into the marriage relationship. And I do think, yeah, a guy can't demand immediate submission from a girl in every facet of her life or anything like that when you're starting out dating. But I think this is something that organically grows as she learns to trust you. That when you have advice, when you have things to say, she'll listen. Now, if you find that that's not growing, that might be a yellow flag, if not a red flag. So this is something that happens gradually. She's got to know if there's something very important to you that it could jeopardize the relationship if she doesn't do it. Maybe if it's something that's really, you know, you don't want her to go on a trip that you see as compromising or something. And if she does it anyway, then, you know, that's kind of put tension in the relationship. That would put tension in a friendship if someone really cared about this and you went and did it anyway. So, but you don't have authority, like you don't have husbandly authority yet, not until you say I do. All right. Sanmi Fawenhimi says, majority of even Christian women have adopted components of feminism and egalitarianism. What advice do you have for single Christian men who want a traditional Christian family structure? You get as close as you can. And look, I fully believe this, that the vast majority of women in this country have on some level adopted some of the conclusions or presuppositions or standards or just the ethos of feminism on some level. It may just be like, you know, Christian school painting on the wall for elementary kids that says, you know, you are a child of the King. And there's nothing in the boys' classroom, right? Like these kinds of things do at an early stage, I think, impact the way women think. They're the princess, that kind of thing. Now, how do you deprogram that, right? This is something that God has to do. I think it's sometimes gradual. And I think, like I said, if you find the girl who's pursuing the right things, going in the right direction, willing to bend to Scripture, and has some of these faulty thinking, but she's willing to do those things, then those problems take care of themselves. and you will be able to talk to her honestly about it. And it'll be something that she'll want to change if she's a godly individual. So if you're already married and you're seeing these tendencies, then it's a discussion with your wife of, look, I love you. I want to give you, I'm charged to give myself to you as Christ did sacrifice himself for the church. I would really appreciate it if you didn't do this or did do this. It would make my job easier. And it's because I love you, I'm saying this. I'm saying it because I want what's best for you. I'm supposed to present you before the Lord as washed clean. It's not that I'm trying to just get what I can out of you, which is, I think, as some women might interpret it. So you gotta be careful of that. Don't, you know, it's not just forcing your way and trying to make it sound like it's about you. This is about her and the Lord too. You are sacrificing yourself in that moment, risking some slight alienation from even your wife to tell her the truth, to help her. And she'll sense that. She'll sense that. All right. I got to end this because I have pushed my little girl beyond what she should be pushed. She needs to sleep. This is half the room is my office. Half the room is her crib. Do you really think that the worst thing a woman can say is no? What about telling you you're a creep or accusing you of something? Well, I addressed that earlier. Yeah. I mean, if that happens, then in the providence of God, if it becomes like a court case, maybe you're the one that's there to be the to fight it on the legal level. Or, you know, if she just says you're a creep, then I mean, it's, you got to get to a point where that, I mean, I don't want to minimize that. I know that can be hurtful, right? But I do, I'm just going to be brutally honest here. I do sense that there is a group of guys, I don't know how big it is, that they listen to some of this hypermanosphere stuff, and that it explains, you know, usually from ideas in people's heads or natural instincts, characteristics, that the way, this is why women are the way they are. This is why you can't get a date. This is why this or that. And there's a sort of maternalism in it. I'm not going to lie. I don't find any of these guys compelling. You know, I don't find Andrew Tate compelling. I just don't. This is kind of weird, maybe. I never really listened to Jordan Peterson. A few videos that were popular, but I never, and he's like mild stuff, right? But, you know, Elijah Schaefer and his theory about women and men and why they're different, but ontologically, I wasn't into that stuff. It's not interesting to me. It's not. So obviously I have a, you know, personal kind of distaste for it. But I think the reason I have a personal distaste for it in part is the masculinity that they project is, look at me. I am, I have muscles. I say curse words. I offend your sensibilities. I'm a man. And I just always saw that as, okay, that's kind of like a high school, maybe really more junior high kind of thing to do. That's like my soccer team. My soccer team was, everything was gay, everything, right? When I was like 13, 14, that's so gay. It was like what everyone said, right? And it was just like, what kind of edgy things can you say that would get a rise out of people? It's just kids stuff, right? You laugh about it. It's the dirty jokes and all the rest. And there, but then when it comes to like the situation men are in where they have less of a chance to find a wife, because so many of them have been programmed by feminism and it's so hard and all right, all these circumstances, they end up becoming kind of maternalistic. And I think the guys who listen to them, sometimes it's not, they're not looking for a father figure. That's how it's always been interpreted. They're looking for a father figure. Jordan Peterson says, clean your room, have standards, maybe a little bit. I think, yeah, maybe there's a little bit of that there. I'm not against that kind of analysis, but I think there's something else here. I think they're actually looking for a mom. I hate to say it. Maybe I'm unique in saying this, but I have thought this for a while. Like, they're looking for a mommy who's going to tell them why their life hasn't worked out the way that they wanted it to. And it's really because the deck was just stacked against them, and they can rage bait. You can just be mad at the world. Be bad. You know, all those people, those elites that were against you and created the circumstances, it's just Jews, boomers, and women. They did this to you. And look at me. I'm not going to let you down. I'm not going to reject you. You can trust me. I'm not going to kick you to the curb like your other leaders did, right? It's just, it's like, it's mommy stuff to me. It's just not it's not compelling to men. I would get off that stuff, frankly. I wouldn't listen to it. I think it reinforces some bad tendencies. And that's a freebie, I guess. But get to know, like, listen to good Bible teachers. I would listen to them over that. I would listen to good political commentators over that. I just wouldn't listen to those guys. They're not giving you any kind of insight. You might think you're getting the forbidden knowledge, the insight, but it's not really, it's junior high stuff. It's just not worthy of, I think, adult conversation so often. I've listened because I there was a young man I knew who really liked Andrew Tate. So I'm going to listen to all this Andrew Tate and look, he explains this perfectly. And I'm like, he does get some things right, but there's poison in the cookie that he's making. Anyway. Okay. So I don't even know if I answered the question. I probably didn't. Is that the worst thing that could happen? All right. Well, look, maybe she says that you're a creep. Okay. She says you're a creep. You know, you're not a creep. Other people like, or maybe you should think about it too. Were you a creep? Maybe you were a creep in the way that you did it. Right. I mean, you could say the same thing and you could say it in a public venue at church, no big deal, or at work or whatever. You could go, or you could like show up at her house at 11 p.m. and be like, would you like to go on a date? I mean, that's a little creepy. Not going to lie. I mean, it's like, how long have you been out here? Are you stalking me? Are you like, what's going on? Right. So maybe you were a creep. So maybe take it to heart. Maybe it's an intervention happening. But look, if you're not being a creep and you know it, and she's just being mean, then she's a mean girl. And you know what? The other guys, when they find out, they probably will take that notice of that, and it's gonna hurt her reputation too. That she, especially in like post Me Too, you start saying things that aren't true. It can kind of might come back to hurt her. Any insight on how to know a pursuit of getting to know a woman based on lust or a godly desire for marriage? Bernie, goodness, I got to land the plane, guys. That's such a big topic. How can I boil this down? I think you're going to have some attraction. Okay. That's not wrong to have attraction. That potentially, if you were married to this woman, you would find her physically desirable. All right. So you can notice those things. You can notice that in a woman's face, that she's attractive. I think God wired you that way. There's nothing wrong with that. Now, if it becomes lust where you want to fantasize about what that would look like in a marriage, then you need to try to take measures to stop that. But I'm reminded of what Paul said, if you burn, get married, okay? So if there's lust that's mixed in with some legitimate desires for what God's given you, you want to have a family, you want to have kids, you want to have someone who's godly, who will help make you more godly and you can help them, then in that particular circumstance, Paul says, get married. So there you go. So if it's only lust though, then you don't want to do that. But I wouldn't say you really don't want to have lust in the sense of like sinful lust. Where you're desiring sexually. Men know when you look at a girl, whether or not, if you were in that covenant relationship, whether that was something that you would be able to pursue. Okay. I think that's it. I wish I had time for more, guys. I appreciate all of you, and God bless. We'll talk more tomorrow. Matthew Pearson's back with the American Churchman. I think we're going to be talking about Bodhi-Bakum a bit. It's been hard. It still hasn't hit me. I thought it would hit me Monday. I was at a retreat when he died. This one's hard for me, guys. I'm not going to lie. We'll talk about him tomorrow, though. God bless. Bye now.